Good morning. I am so glad that all of you are here because today, one, it's good that we assemble together, but two, today we will be celebrating the baptism of two of our sisters, and I am so excited about this. You know, a lot of people, baptism is not an act of salvation, but it is a very important act in a person's life. It's a first step. It's a first step in believing of Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a first step in an act of obedience. But not only that, guys, it is a public proclamation to everyone who sees it that these individuals have believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we know that we not only get to spend this time with them here, but we will get to be with them in eternity as well. And not only that, guys, it is a great testimony to even those who may not know who Jesus is. One of the biggest blessings in my ministry was I did a baptism very early in my ministry as a youth pastor, and I had a young man come up to me afterwards, and from hearing everything that we had done through the baptism, hearing about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he came to an understanding of knowing who Jesus was at that moment. And 2 weeks later, I got to baptize him. It was amazing. It was amazing. So it's a great testimony. And today we are here to celebrate that. If you will, go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians 1, chapter 15, or chapter 1, verses 15 through 23 is where we're going to be at today. One of the hardest things that I can communicate to a congregation is my heart for you. And the reason it's hard is because I don't think you understand just how much I love you. I don't think, and part of it's because I don't do a good job of communicating it, but part of it is because you can never know how a pastor feels about their congregation until you become a pastor. When you hurt, my heart hurts. When you are celebrating, my heart is joyful. When you're in conflict, I feel like a parent of two kids, and I feel like I need to spank y'all or put you in timeout or some of these other things. And to help you understand how a pastor feels about their congregation, the best way to help you understand that would be how you feel about your kids. And I know some of you are old enough to be my parents. But that's how much I love you. I love you as if you are my own. And the scripture that we're going to dig in today, we get to hear Paul's heart for the Ephesian church, as he gets them ready for a collision that is fixing to take place in their life and has already taken place in their life. But before we get into that, I want us to go to the Lord in prayer, and I want us to do it specifically for one individual that is here with us today. I need y'all to be in prayer for Marvin with me tomorrow. Today and tomorrow. Marvin is going in to Piedmont tomorrow morning to have a heart cath. The reason I want you to be in prayer for that, and I know heart caths are becoming like standard procedure now, but the reason I want you to be in prayer for that is because they are going to be on standby. If they see something that they can't do, they will break into surgery right away. And understand something, when I mean break into surgery, I mean break into surgery right away. And Marvin has been a dear servant to all of y'all, serving in our missions team. And my heart is breaking for what he's got to go through. But at the same time, I have a confidence. I have a confidence of knowing that regardless of what happens, I know his testimony. I know his service to this church, and I know his service to the Lord. And today I want us to take some time to not only ask God to do what only he can do in Marvin's life tomorrow, but I also want us to praise God for the things that all of us have got to be a part of. How we've been invited into this ministry, how we've been able to serve not only here in Union County, but also all over the world through our missions, and Marvin's been a big help with that. But I also want you to be in prayer for the family of Dolores Dyer. I know y'all seen the text go out on Friday, but Miss Dolores went home to be with the Lord on Friday night. And I know some of y'all are thinking, well, Miss Dolores didn't even go to church here. But I want you to understand something. Miss Dolores is the mother of a very good friend of mine, a ministry partner of this church, Miss Debbie Braswell, who is the children's minister at First Baptist Church. And we partner with First Baptist in many ways, through our back to school bash, from our pre-planning camp. So this is part of our ministry as a church as a whole. And we need to lift this family up in prayer, because this was devastating to them. They've already lost their father. They've had to experience the grief of losing their mother. And most of us have been there. So if you will, join me in prayer as we pray for Marvin, as we pray for our part in the mission of God's kingdom, but also as we pray for the family of Dolores Dyer. Father, we come to you, Lord, just thankful. Thankful for the opportunity to be here and to celebrate this morning. Father, if I were to even try to count the blessings that you have placed on my life, I don't think I could do it in the time that we have here together. And I don't even think I could do it in the time that I have left on this earth. But Father, one of the biggest blessings that you have blessed me with as a pastor is getting to know Marvin and having Marvin to help me and work alongside me with the missions of Harmony Grove Baptist Church. Father, as Marvin gets ready to go into this surgery tomorrow, I pray for a peace and comfort that goes beyond anything he can understand. A peace and comfort of knowing that you're God, that you are there, and that you are in control. But at the same time, Lord, I pray for that same peace and comfort for Miss Peggy as she goes down with him tomorrow. Father, I pray for these doctors that you would use them as your instruments of healing, but I also pray, God, that you would do a healing in Marvin that can only be described as the work of your hands. We pray for a fast recovery. We pray, Lord, that you would help him move through this process so that, Lord, he can get back doing what he loves doing and serving this church as our missions coordinator and reaching the world with the gospel. But Father, I also want to ask that you be with all of us as we play part in that. So many times, Lord, we forget every single one of us have a part when it comes to expanding the gospel to the world that you have placed us in. This is your kingdom work that you have asked us all to be a part of. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand the privilege it is to serve alongside each other, but also, Lord, to serve you as you do the work of salvation in so many people's lives. Father, I'm thankful that we get to celebrate that work of salvation this morning as we baptize both Stephanie and Tammy. I'm thankful for the testimony that they have of you as Lord and Savior. I'm thankful for the people that have been coming alongside them and praying for them and discipling them. But at the same time, Lord, I'm praying for the ones that are to come, because you are still working, not only in us, but in this community. And Father, I pray that you would help us not miss it, because it is very easy for us to get preoccupied with so many other things that we miss the number one call that you have on our life, and that is to make you known. So Father, as we move into this service, I pray that you would open our hearts to what it is that you want us to see through this scripture. Father, I also pray that you be with the family of Dolores Dyer. Father, I'm thankful for the impact that this family has had on my life, but I'm also thankful for the impact that this family still has on the ministry here at Harmony Grove, but also in this community. I want to lift Miss Debbie up to you, Lord, but not just Miss Debbie, but also Denise and Anita as well, Lord. As I know their hearts are grieved by losing their mother, I just pray, God, that you would bring them the comfort that only you can bring during this time. But I also pray, Lord, that they are able to celebrate. They are able to celebrate because they know the testimony that Miss Dolores had of you as Lord and Savior. And Father, for us to believe, that is the hope That is the hope that we hang on to, that when we leave these bodies, we are present with you. And Father, we just want to thank you for that. Father, be with us this morning. I pray that everything that is said and done today is a blessing, not only to this congregation, but most importantly, to you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's talk about a pastor's heart. Let's talk about a pastor's heart. For many people, like I said, it's hard to understand how a pastor's heart works towards his people. But one of the things that we're going to see in this passage today is we're going to see that there was something that brought about this heart in Paul to be praying for the people of Ephesus in the way that he did. So look at verses 15 and 16 with me, and we're going to break this down a couple verses at a time. He says, "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, while making mention of you in my every prayer." So Paul is fixing to go into a prayer for the church of Ephesus, and he indicates two things that are causing him to move forward in this prayer. The first thing is the faith that these people had. Faith is an amazing thing, guys. Faith is one of those things while we cannot see, while we cannot see it personally, we can see the actions of it fulfilled in our life. And Paul was starting to see these actions fulfilled in this church in an amazing way. The first way that he notices this is he notices this in the way that they love each other. Now, for those of you who are parents, you know, you hate nothing more than when your children are fighting. Amen? Amen. That is the worst thing in the world. When your children are fighting, it's all you can do to grab hold of the situation, reel it in, and take care of things the way they need to be done. But one of the most rewarding things in my life as a father is when one of my boys is either sick or hurt or something's going wrong with them, and I watch one of my children take care of the other one. Y'all ever have those moments? And you're like, who the heck are these kids? Where did they come from? But that love that they have for each other spurs them towards that, and it spurs my heart to continue to pray for my boys. But the same thing happens when I watch you love on each other. I have got to witness some amazing things by watching you people love on each other the way you do. Whether it's meals when people are sick, whether it's meals after surgeries, whether it's just being there for people when they're going through hard times, or whether it's even celebrating the good times in people's life. The way y'all love on each other encourages me. It inspires me. And that is one thing that inspired Paul more than any to enter into this prayer for these people. Because I don't think you understand this. But in my life of ministry has taught me anything. It has taught me this one very thing, is that it is easier to like people that you do not know. You want me to repeat that? It is easier to like people that you do not know. And I know you're saying, what do you mean by that? When you don't know somebody, when you have a view of somebody that you really don't know, it's hard for you to see all the ugly parts of their life. But when you start to get to know people, that's when you start to realize, you know, I don't like them as much as I thought I did. When I first started off in ministry, I was invited to go to a conference up in Chattanooga called Conclave. And, you know, I thought, well, heck yeah, to get me in the door to meet with some people and to rub elbows with some people who've been in ministry for a long time, it's going to be a time for me to glean. And what was crazy is they partnered us with these different people. They partnered us with them. We didn't get to go meet them. Well, the thing that bothered me the most is I didn't like any of the guys that they partnered me with. I really did not. One, they were younger than me. Two, they were arrogant. Three, they were childish. And four, they smelled. I kid you not. The one guy that they put me right next to had no idea of what deodorant was at all. But at the same time, they partnered us with these people so that we could glean from each other. We could learn from each other. We could help each other. And you know, through all the childish behaviors, and I promise you, there's a lot of childish behaviors, but through all the childish behaviors, as we sit down and we started talking about our ministries, as we started talking about our kids, I started to understand something that I didn't understand before. I started to understand that they went through the same things that I was going through. And even though I didn't like them, I'll tell you another reason I didn't like them. I didn't like them because they could fit into skinny jeans and I looked like a can of biscuits exploded if I put them on. Okay, that bothered me. But even though I didn't like them, something started growing in me that I can't describe. It's love. I had a love for them. I had a love for them because we had a shared ministry. We were both trying to reach, all of us were trying to reach these kids with the gospel. And one of the most encouraging things that brought this about to me was we had no idea what we were doing. All of us were in the same boat. None of us knew what we were doing. All of us wanted to reach kids with the gospel, and all of us, regardless of our background, regardless of whatever we look like, regardless of what they smelt like, we fell in love with each other. And I'm not talking about a sick love. I'm talking about a brotherly love. A brotherly love that has lasted a long time. Matter of fact, I still keep in contact with two of these gentlemen. We pray for each other. We love on each other. We pick up each other a lot. We don't like each other all the time, but we love each other. Do you know what causes us to love people? Well, Paul says it all starts with the faith that you have. You see, when you understand how much you are loved, like we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, how we've been adopted, how we were predestined, how we were chosen, how we were all these things, and we understand how much God loves us, it blows our minds because we know how messed up, we know how weird, we know how bad we really are. And the fact that somebody can love us despite all of these things, it changes our lives. Because when we understand that we're loved even in our most unlovable moments, you know what it helps us to do? It helps us to love others in their unlovable moments. It helps us to bear one another's burdens. It helps us to reach out to people that we wouldn't normally reach out to. And you know, here's the amazing thing. We talked about it last week. Redeemed people are useless, broken vessels. They're useless. They're of no value whatsoever. But when they are redeemed, they are taken from broken and useless to new and useful. And I get to see that, y'all. I get to see that now, and I got to tell y'all, it really encourages me. It encourages me to know that when I can't check on y'all, y'all are checking on each other. It encourages me to know that when I'm not able to be there with y'all, some of y'all are there with each other. That's why I love small groups. That's why I love our Sunday school. That's why I love our women's ministry, our men's ministry. Y'all are able to do what I can't sometimes. And you need to know this. That is the most encouraging thing to me as your pastor. Paul was seeing the same thing, and it encouraged him. But Paul also understood something that I need you to understand as well. Because it's not always easy to love on people, is it? How do you love on unlovable people? Well, Paul digs into it. The best way or the secret to loving people that are unlovable is to pray for them. It is simply to pray for them. James tells us that out of the same mouth can't come blessing and curses, that this should never be. And when we are praying for people with all of our heart, with a sincere heart for God to do in their life what only He can do, guys, I want to tell you something. It's hard for us to hate people when we're praying for them. It's hard for us to hate people when we're praying for them. So I want you to think about this. When you have somebody who's rubbing you wrong, when you have somebody who's stirring you, what do we normally do about those people? You are never going to believe what they did to me. We rally the wagons. We rally the wagons. Why do we rally the wagons? Because we want somebody to be on our side. Well, you know what? There's a wagon that we rarely rally that needs to be rallied when we feel like people are against us. We need to rally with our God. Because when we go to Him, He does the things that we can't do. He does the things in their life that we can't help them with. And when we're praying for people, let me tell you what happens when we're praying for people. This horrible thing starts happening in our heart and we start to care about them. It's horrible. I don't want to like these people. But when I pray for them, I'm tapping into God's heart. And you know what happens when you tap into God's heart? His heart taps into you. And you start looking at those people the same way that He looks at you. You start looking at those people the same way that He looks at them. And that is when your heart grows soft and love starts to well up. Now, I want you to understand, He is talking specifically to the church. He loves the fact that the church is praying for the church and loving on the church. But there's three things that Paul wants from the church, and I'm going to go through these extremely quickly. And I want you to hear me on this, because these three things that God or Paul wants for the church are the three things that I desire for you. First thing, he desires that their hearts are connected. Look what he says in verses 17 through 18. 17, he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints? So what Paul wants these people to know is he doesn't want them to know a lot of information. He wants them to know God personally. We've got this mixed up, guys, because we think the way that we know God more intimately is if we know more about Him intellectually. I still can't, we were talking about this in the young adult Sunday school class this morning. I still can't wrap my brain around this. We have more commentaries. We have more Bible translations. We have more degrees. We have more understanding of the Word of God than the first 12 disciples ever did. And they were more effective than we are now. Why is that? Why is that? That doesn't make sense, does it? But if you look at this passage, it makes perfectly sense. Because we think that what we need is knowledge of God here. But that's not what this passage says. Now, don't miss me here, because I said from the beginning, I am a fan of small groups. That's why we created them here. I am a fan of Sunday school. That's why we have it here. I am a fan of Bible studies. That's why we have them. But here's the problem. Sometimes we think it's all about getting more knowledge here, but Paul says that he wants the eyes of their heart to receive this knowledge. So how do we get knowledge from here to here? How do we get it from here to here? And while it seems like just a short distance, 12 inches is what we want that knowledge to move. It's a distance that many people never have happened in their life because they want to know more about God, but they're not willing to experience Him in their everyday life. He uses a key word there. He wants you to have wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is applied knowledge. It's knowledge that you are using in your life. When you go to school, when you went to school, Brittany, you went to school to be a teacher. You went to school, you got your master's. Did you go for your specialist? Not yet. Working on it, yeah. But you went to get all of that knowledge. Why did you go to get that knowledge, though? To use it. To use it to help kids. How foolish would it have been if you would have went and got all of that knowledge, paid all those bills, and never used it? Stupidity. People say that's stupidity. Tradesmen, they get all this knowledge to be able to do these things with their hands. But if they do not use that knowledge to fulfill their career, it's stupidity. And I'm going to try to say this delicately, but it's not going to come out delicately. This is what we have happening in the church today. We have y'all coming in, getting the knowledge so that you can use it in your life. But I've got to ask you this question. How much of you are honestly using it? Well, Scotty, you don't know what's going on in my life. Okay, let's do a little ellipsis test real quick. And I don't want you to answer. I want you to think about this. Out of a 24-hour day, how many hours of that day do you spend with Jesus? Don't answer it. Think about it. Out of that 24-hour day that you have, how many minutes do you spend praying to Him? Out of that 24-hour day, how many times do you use that 24-hour day to spread the gospel? Out of that same 24-hour day, how many of the hours of those days are spent loving on people the way Jesus loved on people? You see, we've got it here. But until it gets here, it doesn't happen here. We've got to take that knowledge and move it down. And then one of the saddest things that I have seen in a lot of people's lives is they have a knowledge of a God who does the impossible, but they never see it because they are not willing to apply what God has given them here to here to here. And they're robbing themselves. Paul desires that the church of Ephesus have more than just head knowledge of who God is. He wants them to truly experience God in His goodness. And you know, here's the amazing thing. You don't have to go to Ecuador to do it. You don't have to go to South Africa to do it. We don't have to go to foreign countries like Alabama. I'm not looking over here because we got some people from Alabama over here. You can do this right where you're at. And as your pastor, one of the things that bothers me the most is you're robbing yourself of experiencing God using you in a way that you can't describe. And I know some of you are saying, but Scotty, I'm not capable of doing this. Well, let's look at what he says in verse 19. Because this word really trumps what you just said. It says, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the work of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand. Let's stop there for a second. So what he's saying here is Wow. Sorry. What he's saying here is he's saying that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is the power that he gives you as a believer. And I get it. I get it. I'm there with you. There are days where when it comes to evangelism or when it comes to ministry, there are days that I don't want to. Okay, don't think hard at me. But there are days that I don't want to. There are days that I don't feel equipped enough to do it. There are days where I don't feel like I have the ability to do it, or I don't have the education to do it, or I don't have these super degrees like so many of my brothers do. But what Paul is reminding the people of Ephesus here is the power that you need is actually the power of God doing the work in you. And the power of God that is doing the work in you is the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. And you know what? I want you to know that. I want you to experience that. And I want you to live that. You know, one of the scariest things that you can ever do is be obedient to God. And I know some of you are like, come again, Scotty? What do you mean one of the scariest things I can ever do is be obedient to God? Because every time you're truly obedient to God, you have no power to do it in yourself. Matter of fact, you're relying on Him to do what only He can do through you. When I proclaim the gospel to somebody, am I relying on my power to save them? No. I couldn't even save myself. What makes me think I could save them? When I get up here, y'all want to go at it. Come on, let me know. But when I get up here, do you think that I'm relying on Scotty's wisdom, Scotty's knowledge? Scotty's an idiot. Y'all don't know him. He's an idiot. He's a fool. He does stupid things. If you're relying on his knowledge, we're doomed. We're doomed. I'm not doing this because I can. I'm doing this because of what he desires to do in me. And you know what, as a pastor, the same thing that Paul wanted for the church of Ephesus, I want it for you. I want you to know God fully. I want you to experience his power fully in your life. But the last thing is I want you to understand that he is the authority over your life. Let's go back to verse 20. Because he says it right there. He says, and which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who is filled in all. You know, there are times in life where we like being in charge, right? You know what I mean, man? We like to be in charge. We like to have authority over things. We like to assert our authority. We like to everybody to think that we know what we're doing when really we don't. But every once in a while, there comes about things to where you realize that my authority is limited. There are some things that I just can't do. And there was a time in my ministry that I was so thankful for God's authority over my life and how he used it to minister to a couple who just lost their newborn baby. I was called at home. And it was one of those calls that you don't know how to respond to. Scotty, this is such and such a hospital. We tried to get in touch with every chaplain, and you're the only one who's answered your phone. Don't think hard of chaplains. But we need you to come in as soon as possible. Okay? What are we dealing with? We just had a 23-year-old girl, a young woman, give birth to a baby, and the baby was stillborn. Up until the moment that she was given birth, that baby had a heartbeat. So I asked him, I said, okay, where do I need to go and what do I need to do? I really wanted to know what I needed to do. But I asked him, where do I need to go? What do I need to do? Come to the third floor. Come to labor and delivery. We'll let you in. So I get to the hospital, get to labor and delivery, go push the button. They open the door and two nurses come out and they said, we want to talk to you before you go in there. I'm like, awesome. They're going to tell me what I need to do. And they tell me, they said, we just want you to be ready for what you're about to see. Okay. What am I about to see? Well, after a person's life is ended, certain things start happening to their face. Blood starts to pull away. And it causes a human to not look human. I thought, okay. And I looked at him and I said, okay, I'm ready for that. What do you want me to do? We just want you to go in. Gosh, come on. Tell me, what am I supposed to do here? What am I supposed to do here? I walk in the room. And I see this husband and wife hovered around this little bassinet, crying their eyes out. And as I walk in the door, I'm taken back and I just sit there and I look at the moment and I'm saying to myself, God, I can't handle this. There is nothing in me that can handle this situation or make this situation right. So I go up to them, I put my hands on both their shoulders, and I didn't say a word. I didn't say a word at first. I just let them sit there and cry. And I'll be honest with you, I cried with them. It's one of those moments to where you can't help but cry. And I'm not going to lie to y'all, I've never felt more helpless before in my life. Every bit of authority that I have as a man, it was gone. Every bit of power that I have as a man, it was gone. Every bit of sense of understanding that I have as a believer, it was gone. And after a while, I just started praying. And I'm not going supernatural on y'all here, but y'all need to understand something. God does supernatural things that we don't always understand. And I have never felt God's presence and authority so strong in that room with that family as we prayed, as we talked, as we loved on each other. And And while that baby's life was taken in that moment, all we could sit there and do was think about how this child is now present with his Creator. And I'll be honest with you, I got a little bit jealous. I don't know why God does what he does, guys. But it doesn't cause me to lose understanding of his authority. He's in control. He's in control of birth. He's in control of conception. He's in control of death. He is in control of it all. And when you have those moments where you get to experience the knowledge of God settling here, coming out here, with the power of God that resides in here that helps you to do things, along with the authority of God working in your life, it's something that I want all of you to understand. It's something that I want all of you to experience. And it's something that I'm asking every single one of you to not rob yourself of. God wants to use you. And it's not going to be in the place that you want to be used. He's going to use you in the places to where you have to rely on his power. You have to rely on his wisdom. And you have to rely on his authority. But putting yourself in that place causes you to do one thing that none of us like to do. You got to make yourself vulnerable. You got to make yourself vulnerable. And that's my prayer for you this morning. Father, seeing you work in this ministry that is yours, that you've allowed me to be a part of, has been one of the biggest blessings that I can't even do good a job of describing. I've seen you, Lord. Help me to know you fully and to see the power that you, Lord, only possess. And I've got to see your authority on full display. And Father, I desire that for all of my brothers and sisters today. Father, thank you for making yourself known to us, but also, Lord, for helping us to know you. Father, we need you. We need you in every aspect of our life. Whether it's being a person at our work, a person at our school, a father in our homes, a father or a husband to our wife and a wife to our husband, regardless of whatever it is, we need you. So this morning, Lord, I pray that we would take hold of all that you have already offered us. Father, we love you. Thank you for opening the eyes of our heart to your word this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hey guys, Pastor Scotty Gerard here, and I just wanted to say thank you for joining us today. We really hope that this has been a resource that's helped you grow in your purpose for God, but also grow in his glory. We also want to extend an invitation to you to join us here in person at Harmony Grove. We are located at 1008 Town Creek School Road in Blairsville, Georgia. We would love for you to come be a part of our service, to be a part of our small groups. If you have children, we have children's classes on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, and all this information can be found on our website. We'd also like to continue help you in your growth with Christ. If you have a question, maybe a prayer request, or just need to talk to somebody, you can contact us in the emails below in the description, or you can also contact us through our app and through our website, which are also found in the description below. Again, we hope this has been a blessing to you because we know that you joining us today has been a great blessing to us. Thank you so much. God bless.